You're obviously the first female to lead this department. Talk about what that meant to you.
I guess at the time, everybody thought it was a big deal except for me. I don't know what that means exactly. I just feel like my entire career, I feel like I've just naturally fallen into certain positions. I think that I think I'm a good leader, and so I don't look at it like this wasn't an aspiration of mine. It was just something that kind of came along, and it was a natural progression of my career. So I don't know. It should be a bigger deal, I guess, to me, but at the time, I guess it really wasn't. I don't know what to say about that.
Sure, that's completely fine. I guess as you're now nearing the end, you're taking maybe some time to reflect. What stands out about your time with Urbana? Highlights, major issues, anything that comes to mind?
Well, I think one of the hardest things is going to be leaving all of the people that I work with. So I think the Urbana Police Department is probably, in my opinion, and I assume I am biased, but I've worked with all the agencies around here, and I just think that Urbana holds themselves to a higher standard than most police departments in the country. And we're under a lot of scrutiny because of the nature of our city council and how they conduct business. And I think that so they're always aware of those sorts of things, but I think that we do a really good job of protecting the city and doing it the right way. And I'm really going to miss the people I work with, but I'm not necessarily going to miss some of the political stuff that goes along with this job. Like I said, I'm not sure I ever really aspired to be the chief and all that goes along with that. And 19 years of my career was doing the actual police work. I haven't been doing police work for 6 years. I sit behind a desk, I make policy, and discipline and those sorts of things for the department. So that's not why I became a police officer. But that's kind of what I'm going to miss the most is that. Obviously, there are things that happened through my career that were traumatizing, and then things that made me proud to be a police officer. For the most part, I like helping people. I know that sounds like the corny standard answer for a police officer, but that's the thing I missed most when I became deputy chief, was actually being on the street and helping people when they needed it. So, I mean, those are some of the things I think about as I'm getting ready to step down.
So you mentioned working with the council, and obviously the traffic stop issue has been an ongoing one lately. In your time in administration, how do you think that's gone? And I guess, where do you see that issue going?
I think that it's gone as well as it can. Mm-hmm. What's really hard to explain in certain circumstances is how and how it is to be a police officer, I guess. Like, it's not as simple as, and if you've watched any of the council meetings, there have been conversations like, well, doesn't the lieutenant tell them what streets to drive down? No, that's not how this works. We train people, we give them a gun and a badge, and we trust them to go do their job the way they're trained. And that is not with any intent to do anything, do anything wrong, obviously. I'm not saying we're perfect. When we make mistakes, we address those. But for the most part, if you're a police officer and you're doing your job right, there is going to be a disparity in traffic stops. It will never be one. There will never be a 1.0 disparity ratio for African Americans, because the issues behind that are societal. It's a much bigger issue with where we're getting called for calls for service. Those are in predominantly African-American areas. That means we're there more. That means there's a more likely chance that African-Americans will be stopped. So until some of those societal issues are changed, there will never be a 1.0 disparity ratio. So I think we've done a good job. I think we do a good job. I think we've always done a good job, but not everybody agrees with that.
One more, and then I'll move on to maybe more happy topics. The gentleman who was arrested for burning the flag. I know that happened when Pat was chief, but it kind of played out, and then the transition occurred, and you took over. And I think I interviewed you after it happened and talked about, okay, what were the after-action items? So I guess now that the dust has settled on that one, what did you learn from that one?
You know, that was like a play out of events that...
It was an odd series of events.
It was a very odd series of events, and the intentions of the officers at the time were good, and unfortunately, you know, there was a bad law on the books, and you hear about this sometimes on the news across the country. You know, oh, so this place has this law that clearly people do all the time, and it's still a law that you can't do that. And so those are, you know, it was just one of those things that played out, and you know, like I said, we're not perfect, and we do make mistakes, and we try to learn from those and correct it and move on to the next thing.
Okay. I guess on a more positive side, and I didn't pull any specific type of numbers, but just I've been in this community now for 11 years, and just anecdotally, it seems like you hear about less problems in Urbana than you do Champaign. It you know, less murders, less police officers having internal trouble. You know, it just seems like there's less of that over here. Is that something you take a particular point of pride in, or do you think about it, or?
I think it kind of goes back to what I said earlier, which is I think Urbana has always held themselves to a higher standard, but I think the size of the department plays into that a little bit. Obviously, I, as the chief, I know every single officer that works here, every employee at the Urbana Police Department. I'm not saying that, you know, the chief in Champaign doesn't, but I do know with a little bit smaller group of people that it is a little bit easier to...
you need to take that.
It is a little bit easier to keep track of things and to have your you know, a touch on the people that do what they do. And, you know, it's a smaller city, too. So the fact that... The fact that Urbana has, you know, that maybe our murder rate isn't as high, or robberies and that sort of things. Clearly, there's more businesses in Champaign. There's a higher population. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody that I know people that live here understand that Wright Street separates the two cities, but I don't think that crosses people's minds when they're committing crimes necessarily. And so I think that, for the most part, it's just some of that is happenstance on where it occurs. So I think the only thing I would say is I do take pride in the fact that we've always done a good job here, and I hope that is, you know, how we conduct ourselves does lead to, you know, have that effect on the crime rate here and how we treat people and the job that we do.
Okay. So as you get ready to depart, the future of the department, how do you see it? Well, you know, what, I guess, issues are left undone that the next leader is going to have to take over or to tackle?
Yeah, so Bryant Serafin is going to be the interim chief, and Bob Fitzgerald is going to be the interim deputy chief. And so I think, you know, like you said earlier, the IDOT, you know, traffic study and those numbers are going to continue to be something that we have to work on and look at and learn from. For the most part, I mean, I'm leaving the department and we are fully staffed, and we have been since January. And that happened very rarely during my 25 years here. We have the ability to overhire so that my replacement is actually being trained now, so that there's such a long gap in hiring someone and actually having them be able to be on their own on the street. So that being able to do an overhire position has been, you know, very helpful in trying to make up that gap. So the fact that my replacement is in training now and will be getting out of training here in a couple months is that's probably the first time we've had that happen in 25 years that I've been here. So I'm happy that I'm leaving the department fully staffed. I hope that I'm leaving the department better than I came, and I guess I'm not sure if I'm the right person to say if that's the case or not.
So when you say full staff, what's the number?
So we have 57 sworn police positions, okay. And so we have the, with the overhires, like I said, when I leave, we'll be at 57.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go talk to the mayor right when I'm done with you, but is it your understanding that she's going to do a full-blown search?
The last I knew, that's what she was going to do. I don't know if that's changed or not, because the city does have some budgetary issues, sure. And I know that does cost money, so I don't know if her position has changed on that or not.
Anything else you would, that's everything I had on my list, but is there anything else that maybe I didn't touch on that you'd want to hit on, or any good stories that come to mind? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got, gosh, nearly three decades of worth of stories. Is there any good ones you would want to tell?
You know, it's kind of funny because, like, people come up to me all the time and say, oh, I remember when this happened and remember when that happened. And a lot of times I'm not remembering the little specific things that other people remember about you. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to come up with a good story
That's
for
fine.
You.
It's That's just,
it's not, I mean, there have been a lot of good times. And like I said, the camaraderie when you know, working on the street with officers and that sort of thing, you know, there's always the behind the scene things that we joke about that are totally inappropriate, but it helps keep us sane when we have to deal with some really, really horrible things out on the street.
Sure,
so
sure. It just came to me. Mary had an article in the paper just over the weekend about Silver and Vauder. And I know that area is one you guys are looking at, and obviously South Learman has been one that's kind of been under the microscope for a while. It seems like things are getting better in those areas. I mean, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think things in the Silver Vauder area specifically are a lot better than they were 2 to 3 years ago. And that was a concerted effort, not just the police, that we're not totally responsible for that by any stretch of the imagination. There is some very concentrated and specific involvement by some residents down there, and doing the sort of thing that really needs to happen in some of the neighborhoods where there are problems, which is having things, having activities, involving people, getting to know your neighbors again. That's like something that has gone away in the last, you know, 20 to 30 years, and people don't know who they live next to. And that causes a huge disconnect in neighborhoods, and especially in neighborhoods with problems. So there's a couple down there in the Silver Vauder area that are specifically trying to address those types of issues and make it better. And I think they have been a huge part of that. So as far as Learman, we've struggled with that area for a long time. It's changed ownership. So that complex down there, I think we're finally getting to a spot where, you know, some really good changes are happening. But unfortunately, when places like that change hands, depending on where the management company is from, whether they're on site or not, it has a huge effect on what happens in the area. So I'm hopeful that will continue to improve as well.